Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 3 of Zion's Finest. This is Kenny Brown. In this episode, I'm going to be joined by two of my brothers, Samuel Sweeten and Scott Nielsen. What we're going to be doing is having a discussion about... We're going to be focusing on a few units in the game now that we've got some reps under our belt. We'd like to make some more informed commentary regarding figures that we've been playing a lot of. So I'm going to be talking about Ahsoka, Scott is going to be talking about Anakin, and Sam's going to be talking about Kalani, Ahsoka, Jedi no more. It's an exploration of what these units have been doing for us in our lists, and I think that for people who are interested in trying out, I mean, I think Ahsoka and Anakin have probably been getting a fair amount of reps, but if you haven't played the Separatist, Sam has been playing almost Separatist exclusively, and he's been playing a lot of games, and he has a lot of just really interesting insight in terms of what Kalani can do, what he's capable of. And then for me, I've played over a dozen games since the game's release, and most of them have been with Ahsoka, and so I'm trying to offer some commentary, you know, informed by that. Scott is going to talk about Anakin. Scott's pretty new, but he played a lot of Imperial Assault and Shatterpoint, MCP. Scott's also, I mean, Scott is new to the game in that when the game released, he was gone in Japan, and so the game was released, we all started playing, and Scott wasn't able to join for a few weeks, so he's a few weeks behind us in terms of games played, but obviously we'll be integrating him. Scott's also interesting because he is not sold on Shatterpoint as opposed to MCP. When IA went away, Scott got into MCP in a real way, and he's played it a lot. He has purchased everything for it, and I think he's a little bit more reluctant to do another deep buy. I mean, he'll get everything, but he's just not enamored with it. But I think that perspective is actually interesting. You know, obviously as we are talking and having this exchange, it's just interesting to have to kind of process that, especially for someone like me who never played MCP, but obviously Sam did and has thoughts on that. So it's a fun episode. We talk a lot about games that we've been playing recently and just trying to offer some general strategy. We focus on these units, and that's going to be the tenure of the episode. In the future, what we're going to start doing is we want to do this point Shatterpoint kind of debate style, where we're just going to have a prompt that we're going to fight about. And I think for this episode, what we were planning to do is Maul the best figure in the game? And Sam was going to take the pro, and I was going to take the con. And the reason why I think that's an interesting question is I don't think Maul's the best figure in the game, but he might be. And so having those kind of discussions is fun, and we'll be doing those in the future. But besides that, we're proceeding full speed ahead. We are now on Apple Podcasts, and we should be on every other major podcast platform. If the podcast isn't coming through on your platform, please let me know. I would appreciate that. Hopefully we've been able to get it all resolved. So with that being said, let's turn to episode 3. Thank you so much for listening.
It's gonna happen.
Yeah, that's right. Hello, welcome to episode 3 of Zion's Finest. This is Kenny Brown. I am joined by two of my brothers, Samuel Sweeten and Scott Nielsen.
Hello.
How's it going?
We are going to be having a really fun episode today. We're going to be discussing specific units in Wave 1 of Shatterpoint. But before we do that, first off, just a few housekeeping items. First off, we want to encourage everybody to join the Slack. I will be including a link for that in the show notes. We would love for you to join the Slack, hop in the channels, discuss list building with us. Obviously, right now with Wave 1, we're a little bit more limited, but as we're getting more information about the coming waves, it's going to be really fun to discuss what's going to go well together and how Grievous is going to be an absolute monster. So we encourage everyone to join the Slack. You'd have a lot of fun joining us. For major events, Sam, do you want to discuss the TTS League that you're in right now?
Yeah, so Dizzard, he ran the MCP TTS Leagues. He has started up he calls it the pre-season Shatterpoint TTS League, where he's testing out how a TTS League will do with Shatterpoint. It's been a lot of fun so far. Had a blast. There's something like 50-odd people in it. So
that's so good.
It's been a cool event. And if you like playing on TTS, keep your eyes out for more of those perhaps in the future.
Does it work well on TTS?
Yeah. So like the TTS mod it's kind of the bones of the MCP mod right now.
Okay.
And it's that mod's pretty good. and it has a lot of the same functionality and is being worked on all the time. So I think it's a pretty good experience. I mean, nothing's as good as playing in person, you know, on
Oh,
the table with your physical minis,
yeah.
but I think it's a pretty good way to get games in.
Yeah, that's it. So it's interesting because I never played TTS. I guess I did play it when we were playing when Star Wars Destiny for the card game, which is kind of funny. I mean, that actually worked really well at TTS because there were miniatures to move around, but I could never get into TTS for Imperial Assault or for X-Wing. I just played Vassal, which was, I mean, it's ugly as sin, but also just so very functional in terms of, you know, like things are easy to move. It just worked really well.
Yeah, I'm not
But
sure if there's a Vassal mod for Shatterpoint. I don't know,
I mean,
but
like I think TTS probably seems like for these miniatures games, that seems like the right way to do it. But
yeah, well,
yeah.
especially considering there's three dimensions and verticality in a way that
Yeah.
Vassal doesn't really support.
Yeah, Vassal would have a really hard time with that. Good point. Okay, one more thing is that if you are in Utah, so Demo Games on 33rd South in Salt Lake is hosting a big store tournament on July 22nd. We are actually not going to be able to go because all the
Prior
things, prior
obligations.
obligations, we're actually having, it's called the Zi-Fi Con, which is, or it's going to be a board game thing, which is so funny that we're not able to play Shatterpoint because of Zi-Fi Con. But we would really want that to have a great turnout. We want obviously these local stores to be encouraged to be hosting events. So if you don't have anything to do, it's going to be a very beginner friendly event. They will have, you know, promos and stuff that they'll be giving out with their kits. I think it would be a really good thing for you if you're looking to have a first good introduction to the game. That would be a really good way to do it. Before we get to the main topic, I want to, one thing I'd like to do with these podcast or with these episodes is discuss games that we've been playing. As we're getting more into the game, getting more familiar with the game, just kind of give a quick summary, you know, what we've been running, what we like, what we don't like. Sam, do you want to give us a little preview?
Yeah, so to brief, we'll talk about my TTS League game. I misplayed my Jango Fett real poorly because I decided to attack instead of focus to get an extra jump. Because of that, I didn't get the angle I need to pull off his Jango Fett off the point, which just snowballed the game into his favor.
Yeah.
And so that, you know, that was just one of those things that reinforced to me that sometimes you're not attacking, you're just moving and repositioning people.
Yeah. I mean, Jango Fett is so good at that.
Yeah, he really is. He's a fantastic piece. And then the other game I played was one of played with one of my local guys, Isaac. He's a great player. We had a really tight, tense game, coming down to the final struggle when, well, it was tense until the final struggle when I had set up myself so that I was so that Kalani was in range 4 of all my droids, none of
Oof.
whom were wounded at this time. And he was my first activation of round 3. And with Kalani, I was able to wound two of his characters, see two at one
Goodness.
health, and then I controlled all 3 points. And it was just one of
Man.
those, like, I knew I was going to lose round 2, so I spent time setting up my guys so that I could move wherever I needed because I knew Kalani was coming up, and I could have my droids in the right spot to get where they needed to for round 3.
So have you been running? So it sounds like you've just been running a lot of separatists.
I've been running a lot of Separatists, yeah.
Is that is I mean, is that your current squeeze? That's what you're really digging?
100%. I've been loving playing with them. I think it's good to get reps in with the same characters over and over.
Agreed.
I've tried everything out at least a couple times, but I really just want to kind of focus down on playing the same characters a lot so I can really master them.
Yeah, I think that is. I mean, that's just you want to know like how figures move, what they can do in terms of damage, like how their repositioning actually works out in the game. I think that's absolutely right. Scott, do you want to give a summary as to the games you've been playing recently?
Yeah. So, well, we played a game about 20 minutes ago.
Yeah, we did.
So I've now this is my, it was my third game. So I have not played nearly as many games as the rest of people because I was in Japan when the game released for 2 weeks.
Oof.
I know, poor me.
He had some serious FOMO, but he was also in Japan, so.
Yeah. So I guess, you know, swings and roundabouts. So I've played for all of the games I've played Annie Obi clones. It's interesting.
Scott, before you actually get in, you have not tell us. So Scott is a longstanding member of our group. He was actually the one who got me into IA.
Yeah.
Scott also got really into Scott is really into MCP.
Yeah.
So maybe give like a quick bit of background on that.
Yeah, so Zion's Finest was my idea, I will actually say. Okay, well, I never get the credit for it, but it was based off of, we went to a Vegas regional for IA, and there were these dudes who had, like, the Phoenix Legion from Phoenix, and I was like, we should do that. So, yeah, so I moved to MCP after IA, and I will, this may be a little blasphemous. So far, I do actually prefer MCP to Shatterpoint. I don't even really consider them similar games. Like, in terms of, like, there is an emphasis on objectives.
Yep.
But, like,
the movement is similar.
Yeah. Well, like, kind of. But, yeah, I think they're very different games. I would say if you really like MCP or you really like Shatterpoint, you're not going to automatically like the other one.
That's an interesting observation.
They're different games. They interact with the world differently.
Yeah.
I think there's a little bit more, like, restriction in Shatterpoint.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
And, MCP, there's just a lot of, like, you can take a ton of actions all at once, and you can double attack, you can double move, you can throw stuff around.
Yeah.
And, like, one of the key differences is the verticality, right? So with MCP, terrain is, like, kind of meant to be thrown and tossed around, but, like, everything is considered very two-dimensional.
Yeah.
Whereas with Shatterpoint, obviously, like, there's a lot about, like, who has the high ground.
Yeah.
Very fitting.
That's very dynamic.
Right. And that's just, you know, they're very, very different games. And so, you know, coming into Shatterpoint with that knowledge, like, oh, if Shatterpoint is Star Wars MCP, great.
Yeah.
And people have been calling it that. And I think that's an inappropriate descriptor. Yeah. I don't think they're similar games.
I think they're more similar than you're letting on, but there are crucial differences that make them, like, that make them very different games.
Right? I think they might be aesthetically similar, and they might be, like surface level similar.
Yeah.
But, like, tell me how they're similar in your mind.
I mean, they're both, I mean, I'm, like, my comparison is thinking about it, you know, to IA or to X-Wing or something like
that. Right, but let's take that away.
But, like, that's, but, I mean, we, you know, we work in terms of comparisons.
Right, but in this, we're just comparing the two games to each other.
What you're saying, yeah, I understand that you're saying, like, they're not, you were expecting them, it to be, like, a kind of MCP as Star Wars, and it's not that.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
It's definitely not that.
They're very different. The rules work very differently. Again, I think it's an aesthetic similarity. But, like, and I will say the emphasis, the thing that I think they have in common is an emphasis on objectives over killing.
Oh, absolutely.
And I think this pushes it even further in the sense of, like, I've still never seen a character die.
Yeah, that's wild.
It's only been three games, but, like, have you seen a character die?
Yeah.
How many
times? I have.
Twice. Yeah, it happens very rarely. Like,
I've seen a character die once.
Yeah, that's crazy. I've seen a character die two times. I've seen Maul die once, and I have seen Super Commandos die once.
I mean, you could definitely play a game of MCP without a character dying.
Yeah.
But, like, you'll generally see at least one character death per game.
Yeah.
You know?
Character get removed. Completely removed
from the game. Yeah, completely removed from the game. Yeah. Right? Because they, you know, they... Yeah, they also have... I guess one thing that you could all similar is also they have sort of like a... Hey, if you get, like, wombo comboed by somebody, you will get to activate again. Like,
yeah,
you know... Because they have, like, the daze mechanic to, like, hey, you're not going to be targetable, you can't get hit, kind of in that same way.
So, like, how Wounded works in Shatterpoint.
Yeah, yeah. So there's a couple of similarities there. But I do think that they are operating as very different mechanics and very different games with very different styles.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's fair. What I was going to say, so you played a lot of MCP, and what you've been playing recently, or what you've been playing is Annie Obi Clones, which... For those of you who played IA, there was a list that was, I think, very similar to that called Han Rangers, where you'd play Han Solo with these long shooting Rangers. And it was very, it's kind of like an alpha. It wasn't an alpha strike list. It was, I mean, IA was all, everything was kind of an alpha strike list. It was about, like, hitting hard
first. Everything competitive
was. But it was about having this major queen piece with, like, these long range threats. And that's kind of how Annie Obi feels, is like you've got Annie and Obi, who are really strong primary units, and these long range snipers, you know, who can hit pretty far. Like, have you liked that style of play?
I don't know that I'd agree with the Han Rangers comparison. You've played this game more than I have, so I'll like defer to you on that. But, like, for me, like, you know, Han is a ranged unit.
Yes.
And, like, Anakin and Obi aren't.
No, but, right? Like, he's like a queen. It's like the idea is you've got this queen piece that's doing a lot of damage.
Right, right. But, like, the clone troopers, I don't know that there's anything really. I would probably more compare them to a not good version of Weequays.
okay,
where there's synergy.
Yeah.
Right. The idea is you actually want them close. Like the whole idea of like Cody Rex clones, which I don't think it's a great combo. I think I've kind of come to that conclusion about like, here's why I don't think running all of them works.
That's interesting because I've come to the opposite conclusion. But say what you
mean. Is that like, so the whole virtue of them is like, hey, you're shooting a bunch of people and you're like throwing conditions everywhere and you're straining people and you're pinning people and like you're getting all this awesome synergy. It's like, okay.
But, and you have Hunker.
But what happens when you have to split up?
Yeah.
What happens when like, I mean, half of the abilities, and this might be just like, I haven't figured it out yet. And it's like, it requires like, there might be something really good unlocked under really high level play.
Yeah.
But it's like half of their stuff's not going to proc because the demands of the board.
Yeah.
Like if you want to proc that stuff, you're not optimizing like your objective play.
Yeah.
And you don't win because Rex got to do the fun, cool thing. You win because you score objectives.
Yeah. I mean, that's, it's interesting you say that. Sam, do you have a response on that? Cause I've got thoughts on that, but.
So I think the clone list is, I think a really, I'm not sure it's quite Han Rangers type of thing. Part of that is you have to spend resources on the clones to have them do their thing. You can't just focus down on your queen pieces per se. Yeah. And the clones, I think, are like, I'm still not sold that just all clones is the way to go. I think part of it's just because I'm so low on the 501st that I'm just not sure clones are the way to go until the commandos come out.
Yeah.
But I really think Ahsoka does a lot for those lists to really make your queen pieces actually shine. I think that when Barriss comes out, you'll have like cool Jedi synergistic lists, and the clones are really just there to not get their synergies off, but move around and hold points. And if you get your stuff up, that's great.
Yeah. I think like I have not played clones effectively, I would say, but I have played against clones who have been played effectively. And what I think the clones do really well, they do need to stay together, but that's a lot of lists. A lot of lists need to stay together for these synergies to work. Like that's how the Mandos are. They need to stay within three of Bo. And I think like that's kind of the interesting tension about the game is you've got to know when it's time to like break your groups up so that you can like present more of a global threat on the board. And clones might be worse. I mean, Mandos are better than clones at that because they've got to jump, right? Yeah. Whereas the clones don't. But I think that's like one of the interesting things about the game is having to balance when am I going to break and lose these synergies so that I can take objectives or something like that. And I just think that's a very fun aspect of the game. But what clones are good at is, you know, with all those brace tokens, they can soak up a lot of resources in terms of removing them. And I think that I would like to play them more in the future and figure out how to leverage that. Like how to leverage the fact that these guys are getting this brace or hunker token, which they can use to heal and dash. And, you know, there's just a lot you can do with that.
So here's a question for you.
Yeah.
Right. Because so you've got the three pieces, right? You've got Obi-Wan.
Yep.
Rex and the 501st.
Yep.
Like Cody and the 212.
Yep.
Right. I guess you could say five pieces.
Yeah.
Right. So Obi-Wan is giving them the hunker token.
Yes.
Like, hey, you're maintaining it through engagement.
Yes.
Right. Rex is giving free movement. Cody's giving out
his
expose.
Yep. And the rerolls.
And the rerolls. So how much of that, what is the minimum you have to take to make it effective? Right. Cause like if you just brought the 501st with none of the rest,
They're terrible, right?
So is that true? Like, obviously, Obi-Wan is great.
Obi-Wan's awesome.
But he doesn't need the rest of them.
But he gives so much to them.
Right. But my point is, like, could you run Obi-Wan in a list that didn't have anything else? Sure. But you couldn't run the 501st.
Yeah.
Is that true of the 212 too? Is it true of Rex and Cody? Like, how much do they all need each other?
Yeah.
Right? And so there's an argument in terms of, like, the competitive meta, which is, the more something requires a certain list, the more inflexible it is and the more susceptible it is to counterplay.
Sure.
So, like, Anakin, right? Anakin, it just kind of does his own thing and is kind of like...
Anakin is absolutely...
the best at what he does.
He is absolutely self-contained.
If you need to just single like activation, like one shot something.
Yeah.
He's your guy.
Yep.
Right. And there's nobody who does it better than him.
He needs 3 force and he's going to do a lot of stuff.
Yeah. And it's like, there you go. That's also one of my kind of my criticisms of the clones is that like the clones need force.
Yeah.
Like you're spending force with everybody.
Yep.
And so I've had this experience twice now where I'm all my clones are going first. And if I want to be contesting objectives.
Yeah. And get him in those hunker
tokens. I need to be spending the force. Well, yeah. And then it gets to Anakin and it's like, okay, well, I either can get to them and then I'm not double attacking.
Yeah.
And so, or I just don't have any power at all.
Yeah.
Well, and so he becomes way less effective. I think that maybe Anakin's the problem there, where you need someone who has less of a force consumption issue, or someone like Maul, where it's like, I can spend other things.
Yeah.
I don't.
A way to improve your economy.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it just doesn't quite work.
I actually really like the OB Maul list. And I think that list is going to be really cool when Commandos come out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think you can play all clones there with Maul, and then your force economy is just so much better that your clone synergies can really shine.
Yeah. I do think it's the case, like, strangely enough, that, like, Anakin, it's not like he's the weak point in that list, but he is, like, the point, because Anakin comes with the 501st, because they're the ones who, like, work with his, like, they're the 3-cost clone, and, like, those two pieces are the pieces that don't work as well with, like, the other things that you've got. So, like, when Luminara comes out, I think that, I think the clone list is strong. I think it just requires very careful piloting and reps, which I don't have.
Same.
And, you know, like, I think it is a high skill cap list, but I do think it will get a lot stronger once we've got Luminara and once the clone commandos come out. I think they're going to really make it shine.
Yeah, I think something important to note with the 501st too is to try, if you like, their attack is so bad that not spending force on them and instead moving and hunkering to get an objective is fine.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Because, you know, then you don't have to spend as much force because you're getting that little bit of extra movement, which will, if you've deployed right, will get you to the center points on that first struggle. Yep. So you can save some of that force for Anakin if you do that.
That's a great point, actually.
I mean, I will say this, my number one criticism of the game, and like, I don't think it's probably tuned for this and you'd like throw a bunch of stuff off, but like, I just wish they'd let you double move.
Yeah, it's so interesting. Like, Scott has mentioned that multiple times. I like that you can't double move, but like,
I agree with you, Kenny. I really like that aspect of the game. I think it creates a really interesting
It very much limits what you're able to do.
Yeah, but not in a good way.
Well, I mean, that's as they say it, as from a certain point of view, right? Like,
yeah. And this is my point of view.
Yeah,
and that's the whole point of the podcast.
Well,
is to express a point and a shatter point.
We'll be talking about that for sure.
Yeah, because I think like the thing is that I have now had multiple activations where it's like. Because, you know, in every game, you're going to have a like, hey, I can't get a good shot, or, you know, I can't do X, so I'm just going to double move, right? Mm-hmm. It at least allows me to position.
Yeah.
Where in this game, I've had a situation where it's like, well, I can't attack.
Yeah.
I can't interact with something. I can't contest something. And I can't even double move. So I get almost nothing out of an activation. And here's the thing, I don't know when the next activation is going to come for that character.
Yeah.
Right? Because like it's a 2 out of 8.
Yeah.
Right? If you know, if when I'm drawing from a completely fresh deck, then I'll be able to activate a particular character.
2 out of 7.
2 out of 7, actually. But is that what you just said, Sam?
Oh. Well.
Yeah, that's right. It doesn't matter. I get what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah. So there just becomes this situation where if I could at least double move, and again, I understand the idea of like, the game is designed around movement being like kind of defined force. But here's the thing. I think there's an easy fix there. For 1 force, you can advance again.
Yeah.
Like
you just give everyone force speed.
Right. Cause like, hey, maybe instead of dashing and getting a hunker, you can just take an extra action.
Yeah.
You know, at the cost of a force, because then you maybe have something there. It's just I just there's too few options for your characters to do, in my opinion. And maybe that's just like bad play, but it's like, this was my experience like this last game.
Yeah.
The very first time I activated Anakin, and he was just, I'd even moved him forward with Rex's ability. So it wasn't like he was even right at his beginning area. It's just like there was nothing for him to do.
Yeah, I had positioned away from him, so he wasn't going to attack. What were you going to say, Sam?
Well, I was going to say that, like, I think that the tension within the movement mechanics and how that makes certain pieces good or bad, I think, is one of the most interesting things that I really like about Shatterpoint.
Yeah.
I like the fact that you really have to think about in your list building, okay, who I'm going to have that's mobile? Like, who's going to be my pieces that I know can get from wherever on the board to where I need them to be? Yeah. And I think that's that's a really interesting design thing. And I think, you know, sometimes I think part of it is that, you know, sometimes we feel like, oh man, I didn't use my Anakin to attack. He just moved up and hunkered and controlled the point. But now Anakin's real tanky. He's rolling. He has really good defenses. Now you're going to have like a problem for your opponent to deal with, even though you didn't have to attack.
Right. Yeah. My point is, Sam, is that you're not even getting to like hunker and like head up. Like there are activations that are literally just one move.
What Sam's saying is you advance and then you hunker on a point, and then you're just kind of like,
right. And I'm saying that because there's like such limited movement, like, or like sometimes it's keyed into the force.
Yeah.
I was like, well, I don't have a force point because I was spending it for other people to get that movement.
Sure. I mean, like that's like, I mean, so the tightness of that, of this economy is what I think presents really interesting decisions in terms of, like, I think it's just like one of those things where I like the tightness of the economy and you don't like the tightness of the economy, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's just like, that's a matter of taste.
Or I would just, it's not even the tightness, it's just the manner of the economy.
Well,
is not as interesting to me. Like, because, like, MCP arguably has a tight economy that becomes loosened based off of your opponent's actions.
But like,
and like the like, and how you play, right?
So that's an inflationary economy. Like that's the idea, is that like your resources with MCP, as you take damage, you get more resources to do more things. Whereas in Shatterpoint, it's the opposite. As your guys take damage, you are spending more resources in order to do things, right? So it's a tightening. It's a deflationary as opposed to an inflationary economy. And I like that, right?
Yeah,
like,
but I don't.
Yeah, which is fine.
Yeah.
Okay. Sam, do you have any more thoughts on that before we move on to the main subject?
No, it's I like the tight economy of Shatterpoint better than MCP. I feel like that is, to me, something I really relish those decisions. But I think they're both great games, so.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think it's one of those things where it's like, if you like this, if you like how like the constraints on choices, obviously, like you'll like that about Shatterpoint. But if you want to be able to do more things, and you know, like, I mean, MCP is just like superheroes smashing each other, and they do a very good job of bringing that out with the mechanics, right? Okay, so what we're gonna do now is I have this idea that I, as we're getting more familiar with the game, I've played more than a dozen games since the game's been released. What I want to do is start not in-depth analysis, but just discussions of units that we've been playing, that we've been getting a lot of reps in. It's not necessarily why it's good or why it's bad, but just a unit analysis. So what we're going to do is we're going to go in turn, and we're just going to highlight a particular unit, discuss its strengths, its weaknesses, what it's trying to do, what it's doing in your list, and then just kind of have a conversation about that. So I am going to talk about Ahsoka, and I'm going to talk about Ahsoka Jedi No More. When I first played, I had Ahsoka Obi as my primaries. And obviously, I didn't really know how the game worked, and I'm not very familiar with MCP. So I was coming to Shatterpoint from IA, whereas JK, who I was playing against, had played a lot of MCP, was very familiar with kind of the movement and everything like that, like kind of what to do. And so I got worked. But I found, I was like, oh man, Ahsoka, this is actually kind of a bummer. She's super defensive, but she doesn't do a lot of damage. And I was kind of disappointed. I'm like, oh, is she not going to be that good? But then I realized as I've played more, and especially as, you know, people have been commenting and discussing on the Slack about what you should be doing with your activations, that Ahsoka is an extremely strong piece, not offensively. I mean, her offense is fine, but what she brings is mobility and a strong threat on the board. The ability, when you wound a character on your team, she can advance towards the wounding unit. And it's an advance. The ability to advance out of turn is so strong. Like Sam has talked about previously, it allows you to contest objectives, which your opponent was planning on taking control of. It allows you to get attacks in, allows you to get heals in. It's just an extremely strong ability. And that's just the protector ability. She's also, her combat tree, she's got good damage and the ability to reposition her defensive side. So she has two sides. I'm just going to pull up her card right here. Her Jarkai side is like her high damage side where she's maxing out. I think it's at 8 damage, 9 damage. Her Jarkai side, while it's higher damage, I think is actually the worst side because it only has one shove at the end of the tree. But her reverse grip side is awesome because one success gives her a shove, 3 successes gives her 2 shoves and a force jump, and she can heal. So while you're doing a little less damage, you're capping out at 8 with 5 successes. She's able to do a lot of repositioning, and she just presents that kind of problem for your opponent where you are going to jump her in to the middle of a squad, and it's going to be tough for them to move away from her. It gives her a lot of threat in terms of being able to attack people who wound her friends, wound people on your team. And she is not the person you want to attack because she is inherently defensive with her deflect and her what's the matter too fast for you ability. And so obviously she can be spiked off the board. And obviously, you know, she's rolling dice in order to protect herself, which never feels great. But she is just able to cause so many problems for the enemy. I would say the one problem is that for these Jedi, she does not have a force jump innate. And the lack of a force jump is, she does have force speed, which is so fun because you're advancing twice. So she's like Maul. She's just getting all over the board. But lacking a force jump means that she is not often able her movement just becomes a little bit more awkward. She is also, I would say, she's very splashable. She can go, I would say, in pretty much any list. Because what she doesn't have any real anti-synergies with what she's doing. She's not like Obi. And she just brings a lot. She brings good defense, great defense, good mobility, good repositioning, solid offense. I would say she's absolutely worth the cost. And the way to utilize her is to not think about her. She's not spiking character. She's not Anakin or even Obi coming in and just like pounding out for tons of damage. But what she's doing is she's contesting objectives. She's displacing opponents off of objectives, often not on her turn. And just use her as kind of a threat projection piece, defensive piece, rather than as, oh, this is going to be my person who's going to go kill Maul, right? Or Dooku. She doesn't have the offense for that. But she's very fun. And I've said this before. I think Ahsoka, you know, Maul or Asajj, but probably Maul and the Mandos is just such a great list for when you're starting out the game in terms of just having flexibility. You've got lots of answers for doing damage, contesting objectives, everything like that. And Ahsoka, she really does add a ton to that list because it makes those Mandos who are already, you know, they're this kind of ball of death with Bo. You're contesting objectives. You've got force jumps. You don't have hunkers, which is kind of a bummer because, like, you know, that's something that the clones will have, but you do have protection and steadfast. And then to have Ahsoka being able to punish them if they wound your characters, wow, it just feels like you're just doing so much, projecting so much threat. So, Sam, have you played against much Ahsoka?
I've played against her a few times, not a lot. She hasn't been a model brought against me, but she's a really interesting puzzle to solve. Partly on her Shien side, she has... on her defensive expertise, she has a jump on her second expertise, which that triggers after shoves, which makes it really hard to actually get her off the point unless you're also pinning her.
Yes.
So that's just not, there's not a ton of characters that have pin shove combos. Like the 212th and the Grievous and a couple others do, but it's a...
Clones do.
Yeah, that's what you said. The 212,
yeah. Yeah. So it's a really interesting, like, I think puzzle to solve with her that, like, it's hard to know exactly what to do. One thing though is she, her defenses do get real force hungry, especially after she's been wounded once.
That is true.
That's like her economy becomes real rough. And also pinning her is just so good because it not only does it keep her from advancing mm-hmm. towards you, the heals or the five dice attack don't trigger if she's pinned, because that only triggers if she makes the advance.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yep.
I actually did not know that.
Yeah, it says then the character that moved may recover three, or if that character is engaged with enemy character, make a five dice melee attack.
Oh, I see. So, that is interesting. So pin and strain is the way to
pin and strain really hurt her, especially if you can strain her before she, like, as part of your tree, then it's like taking three damage to deflect, or what's the matter, too fast for you is real rough.
Yeah. Great. That is a great point. I mean, what's interesting is I feel like those are kind of criticisms that probably apply to most units, right? Like most of these primaries don't want to be pinned or strained. And I feel like if that's the case, I mean, she might have this particular aspect of her kit that, you know, it's going to really suffer if she is pinned or strained. But that's kind of how everybody is, right? Like Anakin doesn't want to be pinned. No one wants to be pinned, right? And so she's just like, I feel like she just, I need more reps, which the Ahsoka, Maul, and the Mandos is what I've played the most. And it just feels like, I don't feel like she is not a dive bomber. You know, you're not diving her in and taking on the enemy team. Like she, again, it's about this threat projection. And I just feel like she does a great job with that. So, okay, Scott, who do you want to highlight?
I mean, I'm going to talk about the OG, the person who will become the person after my heart.
Yeah.
Anakin Skywalker. So I think, the interesting thing about Anakin is that he works, I think, differently than a lot of other, as we've called them, queen pieces.
Yeah.
So I think about Vader, IG-88 Han in IA.
Yeah.
I think about Hulk or Malekith, or like some of the really big MCP characters.
Yeah.
Because those are characters that you have to have a response to, right? You have to be able to do something with them. You have to be able to like limit them in some way, or they'll just tear you apart.
Yeah.
But it's interesting because I feel like, and again, you know, this is three games in, played Anakin all three times. I feel like Anakin is more of a surgeon.
Yeah.
He's more of a surgical striking force because, like, because activations are random.
Yeah.
Kind of. Mostly.
Yeah.
Significantly.
You don't have a ton of control over your activations. Yeah.
And because of the emphasis on objective play, and because removing characters is just a super rare thing, people aren't super afraid of any characters, I don't think. Like, there's obviously, like, oh, this is a problem.
Yeah.
But I'm more scared of Ahsoka. Yeah. And, like, the fact that she, like, lost me the game. Or won you the game, I should say. Because, you know, yeah, she's moving around attacking and, like, make it so that I, you know, instead of winning off of scoring a point, you've knocked me off.
Yeah.
You know? So I think, but I think the virtue of Anakin is that, based off of that, is that you run him straight to the center. I think I've been playing him a little bit further back than I should have.
Yeah.
Kind of reserving him. It's like, no, when he has a target, go in, because he will kill that target.
Yeah.
So if we look at his super offensive side, his Gemso, for three successes you get seven damage and a strain.
It's insane.
Right? If you get four, you get a jump or a pin. And then, and here's the thing, all of his precision attacks give him crits.
Oh yeah, that is his expertise.
Yeah,
his expertise. Yeah.
Yeah. I know the words in this game.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, even in his Xian side.
His Xian side is so good.
Right? He has, for three successes, he'll do five damage and move you three times.
Yeah, the Xian side with shove, shove, shove is, and then his next one is a jump.
Yep.
Which is insane. Like, that's so crazy.
Yeah, and so you've got just a ton of offensive capabilities.
Ton of repositioning.
If you have the power, you're going to get to attack someone twice. He is the only one in the game so far, correct me if I'm wrong, that has the ability to double attack.
On his activation.
On his activation.
Yeah.
Right? When he's a a prime, like if you've got him attacking supporting units, you're not doing what you should be doing.
Yep. Nope.
But if you've got a primary or a secondary unit that you're taking, you're healing.
Yep.
And you're moving the struggle token
yep.
up your way. You're actively. So I think Anakin's your assassin.
Yeah.
In a way that, you know, I don't think, you know, he's not Vader running up and killing four enemies in one activation.
That's a good point.
He is going up and saying, where's their queen piece?
Yep.
Where's their person doing like hard work?
Yeah.
I'm going to annihilate them because I am the strongest unit in the game in terms of offensive capability.
Yep.
You know, he's not flexible. He's got a force jump, which is nice.
Yeah.
But if you're using that, you're it's costing you.
He's extremely force hungry.
Yeah. And I mean, on his wounded side, like who's affording, you know, force jump and I'm going to end this is costing you 5 force, yeah. which with him is going to be basically 60% of your force budget.
Yeah.
So I think, I think he's an interesting ideation on the queen piece, just pure offensive power. And I'll be really interested to compare him to the Vader Jedi Hunter, who seems ironically, I guess, for typical Vader.
Yeah.
A lot more about like precision.
Yeah.
And like mobility and flexibility, being able to kind of run around.
Yeah.
I've played against Vader and he feels like a force multiplier. Like he makes your other people more consistent with his identity. Like they take the damage. All of a sudden they're more consistent on all their dice because adding dice adds consistency.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like Maul, right? Like,
yep.
Absolutely.
That's so, yeah. I love Anakin. I don't think Anakin has his list yet, that's my thought. Like, Anakin has not, I mean, maybe Sam's idea of Anakin Dooku, which just seems awful to play against, like, that is an interesting blend of offense and defense. But I haven't yet seen Anakin like have less where it's like, oh, this is like where Anakin is meant to be. Because like with the clones, he kind of feels a little out of place. And like you want him to be moving with Rex's ability. And like Padawan Ahsoka is going to move him. But Padawan Ahsoka ironically doesn't. I don't feel like she works as well as Rex or Cody, obviously, with the clones. So like she's there for Anakin, but like there's just not enough. But that's just my thoughts on it.
I think Barriss is really important. I think she's going to be really important.
I think Barriss is going to be awesome for that list.
Yeah.
So, or for Anakin. But
it is interesting to note with Anakin that you don't want him dueling Dooku.
Yeah.
Like, especially if Dooku's on his Makashi side, that's the one primary that is just going to make Anakin real sad.
He's going
to turn his crits to fails on his defensive expertise, he's going to turn his hits to fails, and then he's going to walk away before you can spend your force to try and kill him.
Yeah. It's so, I mean, that's awesome. You know, for one, like it's awesome that Dooku, I mean, because Dooku's rolling 7 defense dice on Form 2 Makashi, and yeah, his duelist training is oof, that is tough to play into. So,
yeah.
Awesome. 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 Well, I mean, I think everyone kind of like Anakin, I think, is where he's meant to be in terms of like he feels appropriate for his cost. Scott's done a really good job of describing like what he's meant to do. It'll be really interesting to see how play of him develops as the game keeps going. Sam, who do you got?
I'm going to change the dial a little bit here. We're going to move away from primaries. I'm going to talk about a secondary who I've played a lot of, who I think is a very interesting piece, and that's Kalani.
Okay.
I think Kalani might be the most restricted unit in the game. It's like you really don't want to play, like, if you're playing Kalani, you want to bring all droids, all battle droids all the time.
Yep.
He's really about positioning. You want people within range 4 to get his tactics ability off. He does some really interesting things in that list, though. One, he makes your list more consistent, and he gives the droids more mobility in a very interesting way. Not only does he allow B1s to both move if they're within 4, and then he can do it again for a force point, or if he gets on his tree, adding that extra dice makes their attacks a lot more consistent.
Yeah,
which makes it a lot easier to get their reposition off. So because they just have a reposition on their second spot on their tree.
Yep.
So you're adding an additional mobility to like to the B1s by having him around in a way that's like kind of incredible. I feel like he's a very finicky piece to play, though. Like you really if somebody force pushes him out of position, you're in for a rough time because he's not going to do a lot if he can't reposition his troops around the board.
Yeah, he is so, I mean, this four range for him is so important in terms of being able to add the movement and these dice.
Yeah. One of the other interesting things about Kalani is on his, is one, if he gets into melee, he's just going to melt. Like,
yeah,
his melee expertise is awful, whereas his range expertise is incredible.
Yeah.
And his melee defense is terrible. On his defensive expertise, he gets a reposition if he gets five successes.
Wow, that's
five,
wild.
I mean, five expertise, which is impossible unless he's being attacked from range with a hunker token.
Yeah, because he's only cover. Yeah, because he has four range defense and three melee defense, which is terrible. So
if he's by like the Magna Guards giving him cover, then he gets up to five dice. You can maybe get that reposition off.
Yeah.
I think he is like the most true support piece in the game right now. Also, he hits pretty hard himself. He has like a shove on his second thing, and he's rolling eight dice with one of the best expertise charts, really offensive expertise for any secondaries at range.
Yeah.
So he can hit really hard too. But he's such a I think that Kalani is one of the trickiest units to play because he has such obvious counters in pushes and pulls, getting him out of position.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that is a really interesting point. And obviously also like what you're saying, like he is so tied to synergy, right? Like you're running him with droids, and so like he's just not super flexible. I don't think that's like a terror. I think it's great to have a unit where it's like this unit is designed like Obi-Wan. He makes clones awesome, right? And Kalani makes droids awesome, right?
Mm-hmm. I really feel like he is, in many ways, the key to like an excellent droid list, just because of how much consistency he adds and the mobility that he adds.
Yep.
Because the droids are kind of incredibly mobile as long as he's around. Another interesting thing to note about Kalani is the manipulating of the order deck is really important. Because you'll get the most out of Kalani if he has people around him, but also if the other droids aren't wounded, because you want to move healthy or injured droids onto the points with his abilities.
Yeah, good point.
And so kind of there's a tension of like you can reserve him for zero force, but maybe you really want the B1s to go before him so that they're no longer injured, so that on his turn he can move around units that can actually contest.
That's a great point. Yeah. Do you think, Sam, is like your general strategy? I mean, like, is your rule that most of the time you want to reserve him for free just because, I mean, it's free? Or are you...
No, if I get him one of my very first activations of the game, I'm 100% going to go with him.
Okay.
Because, you know, I get him for free and then I move my... If you deploy correctly, you can move literally five models forward.
Yeah, which is so crazy.
Yeah, Kalani plus four battle droids. Plus, if you have Kraken on the team, he can move Kraken up with his force ability.
Yeah.
So
I mean, Kalani moving B1 battle droids who are moving quicker, and then moving these Magna Guards who are going to soak up, you know, be like a good kind of shock troop. Man, that's a lot of pressure coming at you real fast.
Yeah, he's a real interesting unit. I think he's a ton of fun to play. That he does like some cool shenanigans of allowing your like pieces to move around the board. But he's definitely kind of what Scott said. He's a piece that is vulnerable to be like, I can't do anything. Because Kalani got a Saj Force push into the corner of the board. He's far away from everything. I guess I move up and take a shot. Or more likely, if that's the case, you reserve him for zero force and flip through the rest of your deck and hope that you can activate him when it's less impactful.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. Awesome. Do you think the Separatists are like the strongest? Is that your, in your opinion, the strongest list right now? Or is it just the list you're most enjoying playing?
It's the list I'm most enjoying playing. I'm not sure that it's the strongest right now. I'm really what I'm looking forward to, like when I really figure out what the best is, I'm looking forward to seeing the data that comes from the TTS League, because you get really good data from that. But I think the Separatist list is in contention for the strongest. I think part of that is based off the strength of their secondaries. I think Kalani and Jango Fett currently are both two of the better secondaries in the game. Jango Fett may be the best secondary in the game.
He might be the best secondary. Yeah. He feels like a primary unit sometimes, honestly.
Oh, his defense is insane too. Like
his defense is insane. His defense is insane. His repositioning is insane. His mobility is insane. His damage is insane. He just feels like man, he's doing so much.
Yeah. He has an innate ability that's basically an identity ability that refreshes force.
Yeah, which is so, man, that's, it feels so good. I just realized this, Sam, his not so fast ability is not dependent on line of sight.
Nope.
That's wild. Like, yep. I mean, like, the thing is, he just feel, I mean, this is not the Jango Fett is awesome episode, but we need to talk about him because he does feel, I think he honestly feels a little bit overtuned in terms of all of the things that he is able to do, but that just might be having played against him so many times and seeing how much free damage he can do, how much reposition he can do, and how mobile he is.
Yeah. Well, so one thing that I've been doing a lot in my games is leaving people alive on one health.
Yeah.
And whether that's for Jango Fett's ping or for Kalani's turns where I can injure two people on the same activation.
Yep.
Because Kalani shoots, I can have a droid shoot. Like, doing that with Jango or with Kalani or with other secondaries that can, like, trigger extra attacks, then it's just incredibly powerful.
Yeah. The ability to, like, ace someone off of their activation, like at the start of their activation, that, man, that feels so strong.
Yeah.
Because, like, that's, like, because the thing is about Shatterpoint, which is different from IA, is that, I mean, like, units are not being removed. You are still going to be able to activate them. But Jango kind of shortcuts that because he's like, oh, sure, like, you're going to be able to activate them and then not do anything. So it's effectively like they have been removed, right? Like, if even for a round, and you're down in action. Like, yeah. It's not like, oh, now you go with someone else. It's like, no, now I'm going to go. It feels so strong.
Yeah, it's incredible. I think one of my favorite moments I've had so far was playing another one of my local players. We're both playing Jango, and we ended up in kind of like a Jango standoff situation. Both are Jangos at one health within three of each other, like daring the other to activate.
That's so great. Yeah. Oh, I love that. I love that. The Jango standoff. Sam, do you have anything else before we close it out?
I do not. I, you know, just go out and play more Shatterpoint.
That's right. Scott, do you have anything?
No, I think I should also go out and play more Shatterpoint and try out lots of different stuff.
Yeah. I also wonder, like, Scott, how, like, when Vader comes out, because Vader, I think, is going to be different from Vader in IA. Vader in IA was just, like, a monster. Like, he was literally almost like a one-man list was how Vader was.
Yeah, I mean, everything was built around him. I mean, that's kind of the thing here where, like, this is very different from IA, and the IA, for, like, kind of the end there, the second to last meta before Spectre Cell came out, all of the meta was just, here's my one awesome piece, and here's everything else that is built around this one awesome piece.
Like, leveraging the most out of it.
Yeah, and Vader was
in
the
this
most
game is not that.
No.
Yeah, this game is so different. Like, your primaries are obviously important, but because, I mean, and part of that is because, like, it's again, it's just the difference of killing power versus, like, is the goal to kill people or is the goal to claim objectives? Because Anakin is no better at claiming an objective than a 501st trooper in terms of a body.
Yeah.
Right? Like, they do an equally good job. Obviously,
they're both bodies. I mean, he has crazy repositioning. That's why.
Sure.
I guess.
But what I'm saying is, if a point's open, mm-hmm. either of them works.
Yeah.
Whereas if you need to kill something,
yep.
one is objectively 1,000 times better
yeah.
than the other. And so that's kind of, I think, where the big difference kind of comes in the game. And
Vader's still pretty good at killing.
Yeah, absolutely. It is really interesting, too, in that there's always the same number of units.
There are the same number of units all the time, but not the same number of characters.
That's it. That's what I was saying. Yeah.
Like, but it's like, if you think about, like, a lot of games where it's sort of like, I have 5 people. I have 9.
Yeah.
Right? Or an MCP, you know, it's like between 4 and 6.
Yeah.
And sometimes up to 7, right? And that makes a big difference.
I mean, I think it's going to be really interesting when people are running only 3 character, is that right? 3 figure squads, right? Yeah,
3 character squads.
Because right now, our squads are, I think, generally, I don't know if this is totally the case, are they all 4, is every squad 4 figures right now?
Until Inquisitors come out, yes.
Yeah, so like that's really interesting because like when you lose a figure, losing that bot, I mean, because those two figure things, like that matters for controlling objectives.
I think the Inquisitors are pretty good. I've been, Ulysses has kind of swayed me. Check out he's a content creator. He's a excellent player. I think he's even swayed me to come around that the Grand Inquisitor might not be awful, that he's fine. And I think that those Inquisitors are actually pretty good. I think counting for 1.5 units is a big deal.
Yeah.
And I think that they have some real good synergistic abilities. I think the Vader Inquisitor list is actually pretty good.
Yeah, it's. I mean, they've got to be in order to like make up for the fact that they're down some bodies for controlling objectives, right?
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah, that's going to be really interesting to see how that works out. Okay, well, we want to thank everyone for listening. It's been kind of a little bit of a rambler. This is fun. It's like we love exploring the game and talking about things that we like. It's going to be really fun once we start having more organized play and we can begin dissecting the meta and seeing what's rising to the top and not just based on kind of our anecdotal evidence. So again, we'd like to invite everybody to join the Slack. We will include a link for it in the show notes. Hop on the Slack, join all the channels, start discussing with us, start learning. And we've already got some new incredible players who've been, like Ulysses is a great example of he is producing incredible content. He's got, he's just awesome. He's an awesome guy who is, he's located in Northern California. He's going to be trying to get the scene going there. And I mean, he's like the exact kind of person you want to be building communities. He's knowledgeable about the game. He's good about the game. And he's invested in helping other people learn about it, which is just awesome. So please join the Slack and join the conversation. We want to thank everyone for listening. Have a good night.